my name is Janice B. Gordon. This is Scale Your Sales Podcast. Welcome to Scale Your Sales Podcast, listed number 9 of 43 podcasts for every sales professional. I am Janice B. Gordon, the customer growth expert, recommended by LinkedIn Sales as one of 15 innovative influencers to follow. In today's episode of Scale Your Sales Podcast, my guest talks about her stealth startup. She's CEO and founder since January 2024, but gave us so much information into Lustre.ai. She talks about how you can be hyper-realistic in the skills and the processes that are practical, and it's very much built by GTM experts for GTM teams. And this enables them to role play, but you're able to customize the scenarios and the difficulties, and it can be used on the whole of the sales process. So really interesting conversation. I didn't expect we'd talk so much about training scenarios and the pros and the cons and gamification, but yeah, really interesting in the way that we can use not only this tool, but the tools that I work with, and how this is really benefiting sales teams and sales leaders in particular to do what they do in less time, more effectively, and to give the ROI and results that is required. With 16 plus years of overall SaaS sales experience and 10 plus years of executive leadership in the SaaS space, my next guest has a proven track record of leading individuals and organizations to growth and profitability. As the CEO and co-founder of Lustre.ai, using her experience and people-first mentality to revolutionize how revenue teams practice and ingrain learning, skills, and ongoing development. Welcome to Scale Your Sales Podcast, Christina Brady. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a long time coming, and I'm just so excited to talk to you and be a part of this.
So the first thing I wanted to start with, because I know that you've had kind of recent changes in your career, and so I really kind of intrigued by stealth startup. Interesting. Tell me more about that, stealth startup.
Yes, my company right now is in stealth on LinkedIn, but we will be coming out of stealth very, very shortly. So my actual company is called Lustre. We are a platform that allows go-to-market teams to practice their conversations, their skills in a really safe and scalable environment using conversational intelligence. So Lustre.ai is the actual company.
The actual company. So why this? Why now?
Yeah. You know, I've spent the last 16 years kind of bouncing around the B2B technology space. I've always been in go-to-market as either a salesperson, sales leader, sales executive. I've sat on the C-suite. And the second half of that has been mostly focused on enablement technology, communication frameworks, and how to actually help teams grow and scale at work, utilizing just the concepts of adult learning. And especially building products for enablement teams, I've noticed that there's this constant gap that has always been brought up, even with the best training tools or the best coaching tools or people. And it's always this idea of ingrainment, right? It's like we have to keep retraining people on the same things over and over again because they don't actually have a safe and what we call perfect way to practice. And solving that has always been really difficult, even for me, like selling enablement technology. And so starting this company was very, very close to my heart because it's the first time that we are properly productizing the element of practice and kind of taking the yuck out of it and no longer living in a world where we train people and then we test out what we just learned on live fire prospect and customer calls, right? It's like, we don't want to make our customers and prospects the guinea pig to like the new talk track that we just learned. So how do we create a safe environment for teams to practice at scale and then go and perform and be their best selves? So simply put, if you've ever been on a sales call of any kind and you get off of that sales call and you go, oh my God, if I only had the opportunity to do that one more time, I would have done so much different. And with Luster, that's actually what you're able to do.
Excellent. I'm really interested because I talk about the sales process is really broken, and the way we train people, even from the school level up, the way we train people doesn't always work to the way they like to be trained, what suits them best, and it tends to be one size fits all. And so often, you know, the learning curve is so steep that actually people don't bother to go on the whole journey in order to become, you know, practiced and mastery of that particular new skill that they've been trained for. And so it's pointless. There's a lot of waste in training because it really gets abandoned for all those reasons. So I'm really interested in what technologies that you're using that's going to enable a cross-section of preferences to learning.
Yeah, you're speaking my love language when you're talking about things like mastery and the fact that not everybody learns the same way, right? You've got visual learners, auditory learners, kinesthetic learners, reading and writing learners, and training is usually kind of similar to what it's like when we're in grade school or high school or college, where you learn the thing and you hear the thing, but until you're able to actually do that in body in a way that's comfortable and makes sense for you, it's almost impossible to do it. Like I could watch somebody run a marathon 100 times. I could study their body, what it looks like. I could train myself by looking at them. But until I actually go get my feet on the pavement, I'm not going to learn that skill and do it in a really, really repeatable way. So we're utilizing some of the newest AI technology to be able to replicate those customer conversations and scenarios, but then also bring in the specifics of things like the industry. How difficult is the call? What is their personality? What are the external factors? What is your company, your product? How do your buyers typically engage? So think of it as like a simulated environment for either full conversations, practicing your sales methodology if you've been trained on one, even the element of skill drills. And you can turn the volume of difficulty up or down, right? And so it's the ability to be repetitive and practice something where it's just yourself. You're not like role-playing with your manager where you feel like you're going to be judged. You're not role-playing with a peer that can't adequately be the person that you're trying to talk to, right? Your peer probably can't pretend to be your buyer any better than you can. They're not your buyer. Like they're going to be as performative as they can, but ultimately it's not as successful as using actual data and then replicating kind of that environment. And so when you practice, you can set the elements of how you practice, what it looks like, what your feedback looks like. So all different types of learners can engage in what we can call the simulation as many times as they need, at the pace that they need, with the level of difficulty that they need, and then various forms of feedback throughout to kind of really feed that. But it really is, it's not so much replacing training. Like, I think training has its place. Traditional training has its place. And so does coaching, right? But that area in between is such a gray area. And I think it's part of what hinders our ability to be successful at work, is we just don't have the opportunity to get in body like we need to.
So is this tool perfect for people that are beginning their career in sales? Because it enables them from going from zero to being competent and able to sell? Or is it kind of meant across the board, for even for well-experienced salespeople?
Yeah, it's almost go-to-market agnostic because of how specific you can get with the technology. So think about, for example, if you're interviewing new sales reps to come into your organization, let's say you're hiring AEs. There's usually a role play that goes along with that, where part of the interview process is you're doing a role play with that individual and like your VP of sales and your hiring manager, like pretending to be a customer, and you're, you know, so you could use this technology to do that, where you could actually have the interviewee do a call with your customer and kind of see the scoring. But the interviewee has the benefit of being able to try that simulation a few times and actually learn a little bit and then kind of submit their best performance. There's certainly a ramp and onboarding element of it where, hey, I'm talking to this customer at this company in this industry for the first time because I just got hired here. So I'm either a new sales rep or a newly hired sales rep. And in both of those instances, getting comfortable practicing is certainly key. And then there's this everboarding element of it as well, where the best salespeople in the world never stop training, they never stop practicing, they never stop learning. And every organization has one thing in common. They all change really, really rapidly and really frequently. And senior sales reps don't show that they have the ability to change any faster than a new sales rep because they have to learn something new over again. Sure, they may have more foundational knowledge to apply, but this is also a great change management tool. So again, you think about the best athletes in the world, they practice every single week, right? So I think practice is pretty universal. How you practice might be a little bit of the differentiator that we can sort of bend and flex with.
This is interesting. I'm interested in all of it, but one thing that caught me as a tool when you're going through a sales process, there's so much bias. There's over 20 biases. And so the first thing that I thought, who actually assesses what you submit? Is it another individual? Because that individual will still have the bias, or is it the AI tool? So that's the first question. Let me ask you that one first.
Yeah, the right answer is both, right? Mm-hmm. So the tool is going to have an element of scoring. Now, that scoring model isn't necessarily something that is static and set in. We train the model for every company to basically give us a good score or a bad score based on your data, your conversations, and what you say is a great example of your call. So this isn't a matter of, you know, sometimes you can see conversational intelligence. Like, for example, I was using a call recording technology recently. I'm not going to say which one. And I was on a call with an account executive. And when I got the call back, it kind of gave the spit out of like, here's the score. Here's what we would do better. And it was like, this was a negotiation call. And this is what the system told us. Like, based on how we analyzed this, this was a negotiation call. And then all of the feedback was very specific to what this rep could have done differently in a negotiation call. There's only one problem. It wasn't a negotiation call. It was a demo, yeah. You know? And so all of that feedback, had it actually been a negotiation call, would have been helpful, but all of that feedback wasn't helpful because it wasn't framed on what the actual call was. And so then I had to go and be subjective and give my own subjective feedback, which is going to come from my experience and expertise, which to your point, wildly varies. And so static analytics don't necessarily work if you want to utilize the concept of perfect practice. So on the one hand, it's training the model to show what a good or bad call looks like for your customer, your industry. And then the other piece of it is I firmly believe that AI wins when we can make other folks stronger. And so I do think that human element of here's what I think of that call and here's what I would have done differently or here's what I would keep doing, I think that's unbelievably important. My mission is not to replace coaches. It's to allow them to be more specific and more tactical and more actionable versus, my God, I have a team of 10 people and they've each done 15 hours of calls this week. How am I supposed to go in and find where I coach everybody on all of these? I just don't have the time as one manager to do that. How do we make managers more efficient so they know where to coach, when to coach?
And I think I'm glad the way that you've kind of brought coaching into this, because coaching is a great asset in sales. It's a great tool. The problem is that many people that have to coach haven't been trained on coaching, so they're often coaching the person rather than the deal, or they're coaching the deal rather than the person. They don't know the difference, and then the overriding thing is that the industry is still very much focused and directed to the numbers, and so this still is in our overall educational system, this funneling into the uniform. You know, education was originally designed to make us greater factory workers, and there is, still isn't enough of a bending towards the individual. And so what I like about this is that there is a customization to the industry, to the culture, to what you're looking for, to what you're supposed to be measuring, all of that. I use a tool that has got 2.4 million salespeople from leader, manager already assessed. So we are able to benchmark various industry. We know what's good looks like. So whether we're recruiting, we can recruit for the best, and they're either recommended or not. You probably kind of have heard of it. And the reason why I picked up on the recruitment, because I thought this is a great add-on. Because now we've got someone that's recommended, and then, you know, you get the coaching notes or the interview notes for that individual, not based on the group, but the individual of what you need to ask for. What would be great is actually putting them through that role play, and you could tweak it to those things that you still need to check out. And you really don't want the sales manager too involved in the process to bring in all the buyers and recruit more like myself. You know, you want that in the later stages. But actually, if you could find someone that is in the right ballpark, they will be successful. But maybe culturally, there's not a match. You know, do we need to check the skill set? I was thinking this is really a great way of actually using that tool in that circumstance. So I don't know what your thoughts are.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. There's what have I been trained on? What do I need to be coached on? But typically right now, where coaching can be difficult is I'm usually coaching after you've performed in what I would call a high pressure scenario, right? A high pressure scenario is I made a cold call to a prospect, or I did an elevator pitch that was unsuccessful, or I did a really lackluster discovery and I wasn't able to get down to real pain, or my demo was really, really self-serving and I forgot to do discovery while I do a demo, right? So it's great to coach on that opportunity, but then it's almost kind of, you know, it's a burned bridge and a like, go get it better next time, right? So there's that element of how do we allow coaching to happen before it impacts the customer, before it impacts the revenue? And I think you should coach after every single conversation. But to your point, what if we can get more tactical with the coaching? What if we can get more specific with the coaching? What if we're able to look at a readout of our entire team and see in real time, where are the skills that my team is excelling and where are the skills where they're lacking, so that I know how to then go and impact my L&D curriculum. So then I know how to feed enablement exactly what the team needs to train on down to the individual level, because that's the other piece is training. You kind of have to involve everybody. Like as of today, it is impossible for organizations to train at the individual level, right? Like they can't possibly uncover all of the skill gaps of one individual and then figure out how to train that one individual. But if you have a tool that is actively measuring that for you, it's a lot easier to identify trends and then make the training that you do so much more specific. And then we have a world where enablement professionals can point to, this is what I trained the team on, and this is the end result. Because you and I both know, anybody working in enablement, which I will say is one of the most important roles in an organization, are constantly struggling to defend their job and defend their work and tie what they do to KPIs. And it's because of what we were talking about. So I also wanted to build a tool that made it easier for enablement to see the wins of what they're training people on, because it's so important to do that and be more effective.
Yeah, I absolutely get that. You know, the tool that I use actually, you know, so you've got the individuals assessed, and then you put the team together from that group of individual, it will tell you how much money you're leaving on the table. If you close these individual gaps, you know, and these commonalities where your team may be failing, is going to give you the actual money on the table. And in the environment we work in, you've got to prove the ROI. And so much of training in the past, the one size fits all, has not been able to prove what is the gap that you're actually filling, because they're not measured, not able to measure.
Yeah, how do you know?
The starting, yeah, exactly, the starting point, where they were to where they are. And the other thing that's really empowering is that I think that professionals that like to own their own journey, so giving people an insights to really understand themselves better. When you talk about any kind of an assessment, people often are afraid of it, but it's a way that you sell it to individuals that will enable them to, if they have a growth mindset, and two, if they are coachable, in which case they shouldn't be in your team anyway, right? They shouldn't, because you're not going to go anywhere. Your manager's time is just going to be taken up. So they're the things that we, you know, as part of the 21 core competencies, sales specific on the job, that we are able to identify. But once you've got those things in place, then the individual's able to embrace what their real strengths are. And when they are able to close some of the gaps, what is that going to mean to the bottom line, the money in their pocket, the success that they're going to have? Who wouldn't want to take ownership of that?
Yes. Yes. And what you're talking about too, I mean, think about, like, what actually makes people want to do anything, right? Like, there's an element of gamification, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think about video games, right? I think about video games where there's obviously a challenge. You have to try again. You lose, you die, you get hit with whatever, but there is something addicting about, I want to beat this level. I want to beat this big boss. Like, I want, you know, I want to do better than my peers, right? Like, a lot of salespeople are highly competitive. And so the other thing is, there's so much disconnect between that element of natural human behavior and then how we learn at work. And to your point, yeah, you say to a rep, we're going to do a training and then there's going to be an assessment after. I mean, it's, if you say the three prong, there's going to be a training, then we're going to role play together, and then there's going to be an assessment. Everyone is screaming internally and trying to figure out any way they can get out of that room to get out of doing that. And even while they're feeling that way, they can't possibly role play to their best ability. They're not going to pass that assessment. You actually can't learn or grow when you're in a state of fear. It stops you from doing everything. So how do we replace that feeling of fear and anxiety and almost embarrassment with gamification, with, I'm excited to go into this thing and, like, I'm going to beat the level one simulation and, like, finally get to, like, you know, the level 9, Tom in procurement. Like, I can't get past that guy. Like, how do you get a meeting with that guy? Right. So it's like that ability to feel like I am having fun while I am learning. It is actual fact that if you can have fun while you learn, you ingrain more. And that idea of the forgetting curve, right? Like, 87% of what we learn is forgotten in a week if it's not reinforced. How do we tackle that by bringing fun and safety into training, right? Like, that's a fun problem to solve for me.
Yeah. And actually, the difference between being taught that and actually physically doing yourself in order to gain that, the mastery of it. And then that is making it so much more empowering when you feel that, you know, I thought I can do it, but I am actually doing it, and I can do it even better now. And that is very empowering, isn't it? I love this. I didn't expect we'd be talking all about this, but it's such an interesting subject, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what I would like to know is, what's one tried and tested strategy that would enable our listeners to scale their sales? What would you say?
Whatever it is, find a way for your people to practice without you having to be there for it. Like, whatever that is, right? That's not my tool. That's think about, put training aside, put coaching aside. Can your people effectively practice what you are training them on without you in the room? Like, are you the key to them practicing? Because you are one person, you are one team. And if not, that's the nut that you have to crack if you want people to be successful.
Yeah. Okay, so Christina, if you were on a desert island on your own, what would be the one thing you took with you?
If I were to go on, I would bring a fire starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched that show Naked and Afraid religiously, and I have quantified this down to, they are successful when they can make fire, and they are not successful when they can't make fire. It comes down to, like, being able to cook food, clean water, keep bugs and predators away. Like, the key to all of it is fire. And so I would bring a fire starter, hands down.
You know, Christina, it's interesting where you went with that one. One, what you're watching on TV as well. And two, you really are on the desert island, because some people are, well, you know, I want a mobile phone and cellular activity and, you know, all of that. And, you know, and you are fire starter.
Fire starter. My phone can run out of batteries. I don't know if I'm going to get a signal. And if my phone runs out of batteries, I'm on an island with a paperweight. Fire starter. You can make smoke so planes can. I'm telling you, I've thought about this so long.
I can see you have worked this one out.
Fantastic. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, very practical. Now, everyone's signing up. They're going to contact you on, and they're signing up because they want to be on that desert island with you, because obviously you're not messing around, are you?
I am not. I actually, there's two scenarios where I often have thought about how I would survive. And scenario one is like, you're stranded on an island or in the wilderness. What do you need? And the other one is how to survive a zombie apocalypse. I've actually really thought about my strategy. We can get into that another time.
On the next one.
Yeah, more survival skills with Christina.
Yes, exactly. Oh, fantastic. So Christina, how can listeners get hold of you?
Two ways. You can find me on LinkedIn, Christina Brady, or you can visit our website, luster.ai. And if you fill out the form, you'll get right to me. So either of those are great.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being a guest on Scale Your Sales podcast. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scale Your Sales podcast. If you like this discussion, feel free to listen to other episodes or watch the caption show on YouTube and subscribe to future episodes. I would really appreciate it if you would leave a positive review on iTunes. Thank you.